The scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The text this morning is Luke 2, verse 19. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Or, perhaps better, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom He is well pleased. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. May God place His blessing upon the reading of that word. The text this morning is Luke 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our short series, we have been looking at the birth of Jesus Christ, the first coming of Jesus Christ, from the viewpoint of Mary. And in a way, in our series, our focus has really been on Mary's reaction to everything that has been happening around her and to everything that she has been hearing. For example, in our first sermon, we looked at the announcement that the angel Gabriel gave unto Mary that she would be the mother of the Christ child and that she would be most blessed among women. And in that sermon, we looked really at how Mary reacted to the news of the angel. She reacted with great humility and with great excitement. She reacted by faith. In our second sermon, we looked at Mary's Magnificat, the song of Mary. We looked at those beautiful words that burst forth from Mary's mouth at the house of her cousin Elizabeth. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And in that sermon, we were really looking at how Mary reacted, how she reacted to the words of her cousin Elizabeth. What is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She reacted with great praise and great gladness. And now once again this morning, as we focus this morning on the birth of Jesus Christ and the events that surround the birth of Jesus Christ, again we look at what Mary's reaction was. What her reaction was to everything that was going on and to what she had heard. Because in the text this morning, we read that after the birth of Jesus Christ, and especially after the shepherds visit Mary and Joseph in the cattle shed on the outskirts of Bethlehem in the middle of the night that Christ was born, and then they go forth and spread the news about what they had witnessed, and they tell everyone about what the angel said to them. After all these things happen, we have revealed to us once again what Mary's reaction was to all these things. Mary's reaction to everything was this. We read it in the text. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept everything in her heart and she pondered them. Well, congregation, as we did in the first two sermons, let us also do that same thing here this morning. Here on this Christmas morning, let us look at what Mary did. And then not only that, but just as we did in the other two sermons, let us also do what Mary did. Let us look at what it means that Mary pondered all these things. And then in the process of doing that, let us also be those who with Mary ponder the glorious events that took place at the time of Christ's birth. So that even as this morning we look again at Mary's reaction, our focus really won't be on Mary, but on the glorious things that Mary is reacting to. And so that as we look at what Mary does, we might follow her example and with Mary stand in awe and contemplate and reflect on the great wonder of Christ's birth. Because that really, in essence, is what Mary is doing here in the passage. She is standing in awe of the great wonder of the birth of Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let us do that same thing as we worship God this morning. We take as our theme this morning Mary's ponderings. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, we see that this is a wonderful activity. Second, we notice that this is a contrasted activity. And then third, we see that this is an activity for us. We read in the text, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What does that mean? That is, what does it mean to ponder, and what were these things that Mary pondered in her heart? Well, that word ponder means to contemplate. It means to meditate on something. To ponder something is to give an extended period of time to reflect on something. It means you keep something in your mind and you turn it over in your mind. You think about it a lot. It means that you recognize that something here is very profound and deep, and you know it is hard to understand, and you know that you might never be able to fully comprehend it, but you think about it, you dwell on it, you mull it over in your mind, you reflect on these deep thoughts. Actually, that word ponder in the original is a very graphic word. It is a word that literally means this, to throw together. And the idea is to throw thoughts together, placing thoughts with each other, beside each other, so that you can compare them, so that you can connect them and see how they are related with each other. The idea is you bring everything you know together so that as you look at everything, you might see how everything is connected. You might come to a deeper understanding of what it is that you are looking at. That's why in this verse, we read it this way. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That is, Mary treasured these things. She stored these things up. She kept them together. She preserved them in her mind so that she could bring them all together and meditate on them and reflect on them. Well, what did Mary ponder? What did Mary keep in her heart? In the immediate context, what Luke is talking about is the shepherds and the words of the shepherds. And to go back to that context, all we have to do is read verses 17 and 18. In verse 17 and 18, we read, "And when they had seen it," that is, when the shepherds had seen that which the angel told them, the sign that the angel gave them, "You shall see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." When the shepherds had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then you have the words of the text. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that word for things in the text, Mary kept all these things, that word things is actually the word that can be translated as sayings, the things which are heard. Mary kept all these sayings. That is, all these things that the shepherds had said, that they said to everybody else as they left Joseph and Mary, and that they must have also said, first of all, to Joseph and Mary when they came to them in the cattle shed. All these things that the shepherds had said, Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, what did the shepherds say? Well, the shepherds would have been telling the people as they met the people, and Joseph and Mary as well, what the angel had said to them. And to read that, we know what the angel said to them. All you have to do is go back to verses 10 through 12. And the angel said unto them, to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That is what the shepherds would have been telling the people, and what they also would have been telling Joseph and Mary when they first met them. And then what the shepherds also must have told Joseph and Mary is that which we read in verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are all the things that the shepherds would have been telling Joseph and Mary. And these are the things, the sayings, that Mary would keep in her heart and ponder. You can maybe imagine it. The shepherds watching their flocks by night. And the angel all of a sudden appearing before them, telling them about the good news. And then the whole sky filled with angels singing glory to God. And then the shepherds saying to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." And they make haste and they run to Bethlehem and they find this babe lying in the manger. And you can imagine they visited with Joseph and Mary and talked with Joseph and Mary in that cattle shed. They must have said, "Joseph and Mary, what a wonder. An angel appeared unto us and told us about this. And then the sky was filled with angels. And the angel gave us a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And now we see this infant child lying in the manger. Who would have thought that it would have been this way? But that's the sign that the angel gave us. And what a marvelous night then. The Christ child is born, the Savior in the city of David, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And those words that the shepherds used, which the angel had first used, and now that the shepherds speak to Mary and Joseph, those were very particular words. They said, a Savior is born, a rescuer. Someone is born who will deliver us from our sin and from our misery and from death. Those shepherds said, the Christ is born, the Messiah, that long-awaited Jesus, that long-awaited servant of God, the Anointed One. Those shepherds said, the Lord is born, the Royal One, the King, the One with authority and power. He is born. And all of that is further implied by the other language that they use, by that phrase, born in the city of David, the royal city, Bethlehem. And Micah had prophesied long ago that out of Bethlehem would come forth him who is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And Mary, we read, took all these words in. She stored them up. She kept them in her heart, and she pondered them. She hid them in her heart, never to forget them. Such astonishing words. Now, of course, for Mary, what the shepherds were saying was really nothing new to Mary. Gabriel had already told her all these things. But still, all these things, Mary kept them and pondered them in her heart. But there's more. There's certainly more that Mary pondered here. We don't need to restrict her pondering to simply what the shepherds say to her. What Mary pondered was everything. Everything that she had experienced and learned concerning Christ's birth. It started already with what the angel Gabriel said to her 9 months earlier. The son which shall be born to you, Mary, shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And it continued with what her cousin Elizabeth said. What is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It must have continued with what Joseph had said to Mary. For Joseph certainly must have told his espoused wife Mary about the visit of the angel to him. How the angel told him, don't put away your wife. She has not committed sin, but she is carrying the Christ child. But there was more that Mary pondered. She must have been pondering in her heart also how God was working everything in these circumstances so perfectly. After all, where were Mary and Joseph when the baby, Jesus Christ, was born? Bethlehem. Of course, exactly. The city of David, where the king should be born. But none of that was according to Mary and Joseph's doing. But that was all how God was working all these things so perfectly. And who were the ones who came and visited Mary and Joseph on that night in Bethlehem? It wasn't the mighty, it wasn't the powerful or the rich, but those among the very lowest of society, the shepherds. Of all people, the message of the angel came to lowly, poor shepherds. Mary must have been contemplating, pondering all these things as well. And there is yet more, congregation, because the point is this, really, for us. As Mary pondered all these things, she also would have been pondering over and over again and again who this little infant is that she is cradling in her arms. This little infant child, Mary must have thought, who came forth from me, and I, who am a virgin. What a wonder it is to contemplate, to think of who this child is. This child I hold in my arms, who appears so weak and defenseless. This child is the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, the Lord of all. This child born in a manger, who is being kept warm by swaddling clothes, in a manger with the odor of manure around us. This child is the eternal Son of God, the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He is the one who is in the bosom of the Father. He is the one who is before Abraham was. He is the one before whom the angels veil their faces. And the angels themselves are so excited at his birth that they burst forth in joyful chorus, "Glory to God in the highest." Such is this child that even the angels are excited at his birth. They're not singing, just going through the motions as they fill the sky. No, they're singing, and they never do anything just by going through the motions. The angels are singing with fullness of joy, moved to sing God's praises. What a wonder to take it all in. What glorious things for Mary to ponder as all these things are happening. And besides pondering who Jesus was, Mary must also have pondered what Jesus came to do. He is the Savior. He is the one. He is the one who will save his people from their sins, just as the angel told Joseph. That's why his name must be Jesus. And though Mary could not have understood it all, to some degree, Mary must have understood that this Jesus, born into such humble circumstances, would have to humble himself even further to save his people. Especially after Mary hears the words of Simeon in the temple 40 days after Jesus' birth. She must have contemplated this thought. Why isn't there any room for him in the inn? Why isn't there any room for us in the inn? It is because of who this Christ child is. He is the one who is to be rejected and despised and cast out. And as Mary pondered all these things, kept them in her heart and pondered them over the next days and weeks and months and years, even as Jesus grew from a little infant into a man, Mary must have contemplated those words from Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That is, after all, why Jesus was born into this world, congregation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, to obtain our peace, was upon his shoulders, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus was born in that manger in Bethlehem, congregation, exactly so that he might die on the cross. He had been born to suffer hell as the substitute of God's people, to save them from their misery, from utter darkness, from their spiritual death, and to bestow upon them the unspeakable riches of salvation. And then what Mary also must have pondered was this. Besides all these things, still more. Why? Why? What's the reason for all these things happening? For this marvelous night, for the news of the angel, for the excitement of the host of heaven, for these strange words being used about this child? What is the reason for all of this? For his birth. And she must have pondered this. This is the superabounding. This is the overflowing love of God towards his people. Mary must not have just asked herself, who is this infant child? What has he come to do? But what's the reason for it all? And the only answer, the ultimate answer for it all is this. This is the love of God. This is the love of God towards you, Mary. To give you a perfect righteousness, a perfect standing before God. This is the love of God towards his people. The elect of God, the Israel of God. Jesus Christ, the Savior, God himself, loved us and loves us. That's why he gives his only begotten Son for us. That's what the angel says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace to men of God's good pleasure. The angel's words themselves emphasize the idea of God's love, of God's election. And Mary pondered these things too. God sent this child to reconcile his people to himself, to obtain peace for them because of his great love wherewith he loved them. You see, what Mary began to ponder at this early stage in Jesus' life is what the Church of Jesus Christ has pondered ever since and what we reflect on this morning. God, God Almighty, humbling himself, coming in the form of a servant to redeem those who have sinned against him, redeeming those who were by nature his enemies, who made themselves his enemies, redeeming them simply because of his great love wherewith he loved them. This was Mary's activity of pondering. Contemplating all these things, reflecting on all these things that she heard about this Christ child. Well, this wonderful activity of Mary, this believing activity of Mary, was also a contrasted activity. That it was a contrasted activity is clear in the text by the very first word, but. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now that's not the strong word to make the contrast, but the word is there. But there is a contrast. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went around spreading the glorious news about what they had witnessed and the words of the angel. That's verse 17. And in verse 18 we read, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The idea is this. Many in Bethlehem and in Judah were astonished. They stood in amazement at what the shepherds were saying. These were shepherds. These were simple folk, honest folk who had no reason for making up such a story. And what the shepherds were saying did make some sense. The people were looking for the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. But not only is that astonishing, but this is astonishing. In such mean circumstances was he born? To such poor parents in such a contemptible place as a cattle shed? And the announcement of the angel and the song of the angels. And so the people's reaction at the words of the shepherd was this. They wondered. Many wondered. But the reality is, many wondered. not knowing whether they should believe the words of the shepherds or deny the words of the shepherds. They did not know what to make of the shepherds' words, and so they simply wondered. They wondered at these words. And the contrast is this: while they wondered at all these things, Mary pondered them. That's the contrast. Well, the explanation for this contrast is this: those many people to whom the shepherds told the news, at least for many of them, their wondering only amounted to an unbelieving wondering. They didn't know whether to deny the words of the shepherds or to believe them. They didn't know what to do. And so all they did was wonder. And when all you do is wonder, well, that's the response of unbelief. If that's all you do, what I should say is this: if all they did was wonder without believing, then their wondering itself was the response of unbelief. And when you read through the Gospels and through the book of Acts, you see that many people wonder at the gospel. That's the same reaction that Jesus himself had early on in his ministry and throughout his ministry. In Nazareth, for example, in Luke 4, verse 22. In Luke 4, verse 22, this is how the people reacted to Jesus' preaching. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They wondered because Jesus' words were so beautiful. They were astonished. But that's really all their wondering amounted to. They stood astonished at Jesus' words, but they didn't believe, because only a few verses later you read that those same people in Nazareth wanted to push Jesus off a cliff because of the words that he spoke. This is the same kind of reaction that the Apostle Paul had on his first missionary journey in Antioch. In Acts 13, verse 41, Paul's preaching the gospel to the people in Antioch. And as he's preaching, Paul sees the rejection of the gospel in many of the eyes in his audience. And so Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and he says this: "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Paul says, wonder. Go on and wonder. Stand in amazement. Don't believe and perish. And many in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area of Judah, of Bethlehem, they wondered at the words of the shepherds. What a strange thing to see. Shepherds full of excitement telling us the Messiah has been born. The Messiah? The Son of David? Born in Bethlehem? Christ the Lord? Sounds right. Sounds right. But after all, what do shepherds really know, right? The story sounds too strange to be believed. Perhaps this is interesting news to talk about over coffee break, perhaps. But that's about it. Back to work, folks. Did any of the people make the trip to visit Mary and Joseph? Was there a huge crowd of people that eventually gathered around that manger in Bethlehem as the news spread, giving the Christ child their worship? For all the people's wondering, the response of many to the words of the shepherds was the response of unbelief. We don't read of anything like that in the Scriptures. Their response, we might liken it to the response of King Herod when the wise men came and told him the news. And Herod's men were all astonished. But they didn't have faith. They didn't believe it. After all, such a child, born into such poverty, born in a cattle shed, wrapped in swaddling clothes, that's not really the kind of king, the kind of Messiah we want, is it? It was the superficial response merely of wondering. hearing the news, responding with a raised eyebrow, and then continuing on their way. In its own way, congregation, this is exactly how the world reacts to the news of Jesus' birth today. What a story, they say. What a story. It sounds so marvelous. They wonder at the babe born in Bethlehem. But then the people quickly dismiss him from their minds. And they say, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the holidays. Let's have some warm, fuzzy feelings. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? And they put all kinds of distractions in front of them to turn themselves away from pondering the wonder of Christ's birth. After all, in this Christmas season, I don't want to have to think about the reality of my own sins, do I? And the punishment that's due to me for my sins on this day and in this Christmas season? And if we have to hear about how Christ was born in Bethlehem to take away the sins of his people, well, that just mars the entire story, doesn't it? And if we have to believe that this child is really God come in the flesh, well, I mean, that's a little fantastic, isn't it? A little incredible. Do you really expect us to believe that? And the wonder of Christ's birth and the reason Christ came, it's met with the response of unbelief. People wonder. It's a nice story, a quaint story. But it's the response of unbelief. And the point now is this. Not Mary. Mary's response was much, much deeper. We read in the text, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She stored up the words that the shepherds spoke. She preserved what she had heard about the angels singing for joy in the night sky. She remembered all the ways in which this little babe was described, a Savior, Christ, the Lord. And she pondered. She contemplated all these words. And she didn't boast in herself. And she didn't exalt herself that she was the mother of such a child. But she kept these things. She put them all together and she reflected on them in her own heart. And Mary's response was the response of faith. She didn't dismiss all these things. She reflected on them daily. They were a source of great joy to her. And the shepherds, well, they would have pondered all these things as well. Joseph, he would have pondered these things as well. The wise men, they would have pondered all these things. Zechariah and Elizabeth and Simeon and Anna, they too. This is the activity of faith. This is what faith does. Faith ponders these things. And that's why, congregation, I want to end this sermon this morning emphasizing that this is an activity also for us to ponder, that we must ponder the wonder of Christ's birth. Oh yes, it is a wonder that we cannot comprehend. It's something that is very, very deep. We cannot plumb the depths of the wonder of Christ's birth, the wonder of the incarnation. God coming in the flesh. How do you explain it? Well, it's a fact. We know it is true. We respond in faith. But it is deep. And that's exactly why it is good for us to ponder these things. Who was that little child that Mary was holding in her arms? He was, and he is, none other than God Almighty, the everlasting God, whose name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is God the Creator, entering into His creation, taking upon Himself our flesh and blood, made like unto us in all things except sin. And here He is, wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, surrounded by the odor of manure in a cattle shed, as a babe in Mary's arms. Ponder that. What did he come to do? He came to save us from our sins. For only in this way, only in the way of God becoming a man and suffering and dying in our place, only in that way could the burden of the guilt of our sin be lifted off of us and eternal life be given to us. And already there in the arms of Mary, that little child Jesus, already there he was your head and your representative, bearing the burden of your guilt on his shoulders. He humbled himself this low, and he would humble himself even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross, being forsaken of the Father. Exactly so that our sins might be forgiven. We might have the certain expectation of life eternal, of heaven, and friendship and peace with God. And then there's this. Why did God do such a thing? Why do we even have this day? Why are we here this morning as a church assembled, celebrating and contemplating the birth of Jesus Christ? What explains it all in the end? Well, God did such a thing exactly because of His love for you. His love for you, His child. And if this event was not unfathomable already, which it is, so deep, how much more unfathomable, you might say, is it? How much more deep, how much more worthy of our reflection and our pondering when you consider this, the reason for Christ's birth is God's great, God's infinite love for His church, and for you, His elect children. God loved us so much. He so loved the world, Jew and Gentile, His people from all nations, that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And He did it all out of His good pleasure for the glory and the honor of His most gracious and magnificent name. These were Mary's ponderings, congregation, on the day of Christ's birth, going forward throughout her life. Wonderful, glorious ponderings. Pondering the unsearchable love of God, the inscrutable wisdom and power of God. And congregation, you and I have so much to ponder as well. A lifetime of pondering. A lifetime of pondering these glorious truths, the wonder of our salvation. Ponder these things, congregation. Keep them in your heart. Ponder them. Take the time to reflect. Take the time to think on the wonder of Christ's birth, the wonder of God's great love for you, and the good news that unto you is born a Savior, your Savior, Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, all glory to Thee in the highest be. May our hearts magnify Thy name. Thou art the holy God. We stand in awe at the wonder of our salvation once again, and we stand with joyful hearts and with gladness beaming, throbbing in our hearts at the wonder of Thy love for us in the giving of Thine only begotten Son, that we might be rich, delivered from such poverty and death, rich with all the riches of heaven in Christ Jesus. Lord, to Thee be the glory. And Father, forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, we can pray. Because of His coming and humbling Himself to be our Savior. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.